If you would please, I know it's been a little while, but turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. We'll be finishing chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Let's stand together as we hear from this breathed out, powerful word. And a leper came to him, that is Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. And thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we are absolutely nothing before you. Lord, please use your word to make clear to us how we lack, those places where we sin, those places where we are holding out on you. Lord, be glorified in the preaching and hearing of your word for the sake of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We'll handle this passage in three sections: doctrine, duty, and delight. And this sermon is entitled, "The Compassionate Sovereign." The Compassionate Sovereign. Now, earlier in chapter 1, Mark labored to establish Jesus as sovereign. Sovereign over all things, all realms, over men, verses 16 through 20, over unclean spirits, 21 through 28, and over sickness and various diseases, 29 through 34. And it isn't that Jesus' desire and compassion were entirely absent from these accounts. They weren't. But in this passage, what Mark does is he records an encounter between Jesus and a leper, where the sovereignty of Jesus is not being established, it is assumed, but rather it's his willingness, it's his desire as the sovereign that is in view. And so our doctrine is this, that Jesus is not merely able to cleanse, but he is willing. That Jesus is not merely able to cleanse, though he certainly is that, but he is also willing. Now, some quick words on leprosy. Well, leprosy caused people to be unclean, and that is not simply referring to their physical status, but a ceremonial pronouncement which separated a person even from their own family, and really from the entire community. One commentator said, it, referring to leprosy, is a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. And we know this is the case because in Levitical law, starting in Leviticus 13, if someone no longer displays the outward manifestations of leprosy for a long enough time, then it's not simply a recognition of their cleared symptoms which makes them unclean. But rather, there had to be, even after the clearing of symptoms, a sacrifice given, an atoning sacrifice. And of course, atonement is only ever offered for sin. But just like being born blind or any other physical affliction, a leper's affliction may or it may have come as a result of a specific sin on their part, but it could have also come simply as a result of the curse for Adam's sin. And so we couldn't see, for example, a leper and a clean man and then just conclude based on that status alone that one was with sin more than the other. But whether the leper was suffering as a result of his own sin or Adam's, sin indeed has a very destructive effect. And so the leper confesses in verse 40, if you will, you can make me clean. And so note that the leper actually assumes quite confidently that Jesus is completely and utterly sovereign over leprosy. That's his confession. You can make me clean. There was no doubt in the leper's mind. The one element that he questions is not whether Jesus can make him clean, but rather not whether he is willing to make him clean, to heal him. Well, Jesus, Mark records, is moved with compassion, moved with pity. The idea is to be moved from the very seat of love, of compassion, of mercy, of pity. In a word, Jesus loved this man. And it is out of this love that flowed Jesus' actions and his words. Now understand that to even approach Jesus as a leper would have been quite the shock to anybody looking on. Levitical law prevented lepers from coming within a certain distance, but in general, they kept a wide berth. Most lepers were not flirting with the very inner bounds of what Levitical law prescribed, which was about 6 feet. But as this man knelt before Jesus and made his plea, there would have been a kind of tension from any onlooker that you could have cut with a knife. This is high drama for somebody in this state to come near enough to kneel and to speak to Jesus. See, people were not unaware of how disease was transmitted. So, as Jesus closed the distance to this man, we don't know exactly at what distance this man kneeled in front of Jesus, but Jesus, moved with compassion, moved with pity, Jesus closes the distance. He reaches out and actually touches the leper. And in the minds of the onlookers, the thought would have been, what in the world is Jesus doing? Has he lost his mind? See, Jesus healed a great many without so much as a word. And he healed many even at a great distance. So why in the world would Jesus risk touching this leper? But he does. He actually did it. And then he says to the leper, he gets right to the heart of the issue, I will. The leper asks, if you will. And he answers, I will. Be clean. So the million-dollar question had been answered. Would Jesus have the time of day for a man afflicted so terribly or desire to make such a man clean, to make him, to restore him, to bring him back into a place of fellowship and communion with his family, with his community, a man whose very existence was a living reminder of the odiousness of sin, the ravages of sin. You might even say that this man was sin incarnate, and Jesus answers simply, I will. Be clean. So it's the actions and the words both of Jesus, they're very clear. He is a willing sovereign. He is not only sovereign over the leprosy, but he is a willing savior. And this will is poured forth from, again, the very seat of compassion. Jesus loved this man. And so he was restoring, bringing back what was lost, reviving what was dying. Friends, brothers, sisters, it is absolutely essential that we understand that Jesus Christ is not merely able. If we only view Jesus as an able Savior, that could never restore us. That could never get us anywhere. We have to understand that he is a willing Savior, that he desires to condescend, that the whole purpose of his coming was not merely to showcase the fact that he could do it, but to gloriously display the fact that he did do it. He is compassionate. But he is not only compassionate, he is compassion itself. He's the very definition of compassion. There is no one more compassionate. There's no one who had more pity for the pitiable than Jesus Christ. So he is as willing as he is able. And that is to say that the doors are wide open. The gate has been thrown open. The curtain has been torn in half. We can approach with great boldness. And so what is our duty in light of this great, beautiful doctrine of the willingness of our sovereign? Well, it's simply to call upon the name of this compassionate sovereign. That's it. It's just to call upon his name. It's to cry out to him. Well, the leper here is actually quite instructive. Note in verse 40 that the leper first comes. And what's happening here is the leper is coming, acknowledging his own estate. The fact that he is in a miserable condition. It's his coming is a confession. I am needy. And how can we come before a compassionate sovereign without first confessing a need to do so? Really, the very act of coming to Jesus as Savior, part and parcel of that coming is a confession. That's why we enter into this church building. This is, not sure if you knew this, but by walking through these very doors, you, wittingly or not, were confessing that you need something. Every single one of us here needs Jesus Christ desperately. And so the leper then kneels. And in kneeling, he's acknowledging the sovereignty of Jesus and his ability to deal with his miserable condition. He is kneeling because that is the only appropriate response before the sovereign of the universe, somebody who didn't need to touch, didn't even need to use the words, but by any means at his disposal, by even outside of means altogether, he merely could have willed it and it would have happened. And by kneeling, the leper was acknowledging this fact. And that's how we need to come before Jesus, is kneeling. If we don't honor him for who he truly is, then we're kneeling before a savior that can't save. We're kneeling before a false god. So we need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that he is who he says he is. And the leper did this. He knelt. And then the text says that he implored, he called out. He was begging is what he was doing. He wasn't demanding. He knew that he couldn't do that. And you or I can never presume upon the grace of God. We can never demand it, but we can beg. And our Savior, again, invites us. He has torn the curtain in two. He wants us to come and to beg. That's what he wants. So we can never demand the love of such a Savior. We can never demand his mercy, his compassion. We can never demand his pity. And yet we're called to beg for it, to cry out, to plead, to implore. And so the question should be obvious. Have you done this? Have you come? Have you knelt? Have you begged and pleaded? Is this something that you are doing? You see, this kind of coming before the Savior is not one and done. It's not, I did that once before, and so now I'm... No, this is the life of a Christian. This is our heartbeat. This is our battle rhythm, as we say in the military. This is our daily, hourly liturgy, is to come and kneel and plead. This is the life of this. This is our life. This is our glorious calling, that we get to come before a compassionate sovereign. Knock. Brothers and sisters, friends, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Paul writes in Romans 10 that Jesus bestows his riches on all who call on him. For, and he's quoting Moses here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So my friend, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to come? To kneel, to plead, to beg, to cry out. This brings us to delight. We must see that Jesus' willingness meant that he, as the compassionate sovereign, became the curse. In your place, in my place. See, there was great significance in Jesus actually touching the leper. No, Jesus was not instantly afflicted with this man's disease. No, it didn't even manifest itself over the next days or weeks or even months. But Jesus most certainly did contract something from this man. Jesus became sin, the man who knew no sin, took upon himself the sin of this man This man who is sin incarnate, Jesus became sin incarnate in his place. Jesus, as a compassionate sovereign, cannot just wish away sin. He cannot just, in a word, make sin disappear. No, that would violate his nature. He is a just God, and sin must be dealt with. Jesus Christ became sin in the place of sinners. Brothers and sisters, this is such a glorious delight. That out of the bowels of his love, that he would have compassion upon us. This compassion means so much. He paid so dearly to pity us, to restore us, to take our sin upon himself, and then to pay the punishment that this leper deserved, that you and I deserved. Our compassionate sovereign bore that wrath himself. He traded places and became the leper for us, for you, for me. Now, it is a bit shocking that this man, having been so delivered, is so quickly disobedient. That he is given a charge. He is not only charged, but sternly. One commentator notes that actually this stern direction, this guidance from the compassionate sovereign Jesus Christ, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded. Now, there is a whole lot of mystery, of depth in Jesus telling people quite often to withhold or hold their peace, to not go forward and declare. But whether or not Jesus meant for this this telling of the good news to just not proceed, dealing with the priests and making sure that the Levitical law was satisfied, or whether that was a ban with no time horizon, no end to it, the text is not totally clear. But one thing that we see, and that is, if I were to be guilty of any sin, proclaiming the excellencies of a compassionate Savior, fortunately, brothers and sisters, we do not have that prohibition, that ban placed upon us, but rather we're commanded to go forth, to bring this very message to a dead and dying world. And this man is so changed, is so overjoyed that his testimony takes a problem, if you want to call it that, that Jesus had. Earlier we read that Jesus had to escape away, right? He had to wake when it was still the dead of night to go pray because people were thronging around him. And this man's testimony further serves to just increase the zealousness, the excitement, the drive that people have to see this man. Now, we know that not every person that is chasing after Jesus is doing so with perfect motives. Many people just want their problems dealt with. But in this man, we see it was hard for him to keep what had happened bottled up. And that's not to say that we want to excuse his disobedience. That is not a, that's not our prerogative. Sometimes God's ways and commands are mysterious, but of course he is wiser than we are. And so in this command, we may not ever understand it, this side of glory. Why would God precisely say that? But we need to trust, and the man should have obeyed, but... it's also indicative of somebody who has been transformed, somebody who's seen the compassion of the sovereign to just bubble over, to just overflow with joy. And so too, Lord willing, that is us. Again, in closing, though, the focus of our delight is that he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the very righteousness of God. So let's give thanks and praise God together in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a compassionate, sovereign Savior, that you came to do what no other could, and that that without you we were destined for judgment. Lord, thank you for coming to rescue lowly, sinful men and women such as us, boys and girls, desperate, Lord, in our spiritual deadness, with no hope apart from you. Thank you, Lord, that you took pity upon us and that you loved us. Help us, Lord, to delight in what you have done for us. The fact that you took upon yourself this sin that we possessed and dealt with it, bore the wrath of the Father on our sake. Lord, you are so good to us. We give you all the thanks and all the praise and all the glory forever. For the sake of Christ Jesus, amen.